educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW-Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, and Chuck Wolbers, a transition and work experience teacher in the special education department at Tremper High School, also in Kenosha. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Hello, I'm Karen Sconsert, and this is Education Matters. As a resident of Kenosha, I've had many opportunities over the years to enjoy the musical talents of KUSD students. I've seen the Tremper Golden Strings perform in several venues. I've attended many theater arts productions of musicals. I've heard jazz bands and smaller jazz groups perform at different events. These are all very impressive and justified points of pride for the schools and the community, but nothing really prepared me for the spectacle that is Bandorama. Some of my Carthage students are KUSD graduates, so I had heard descriptions. I knew Bandorama was a big production with a guest conductor, and I knew that students from grades 5 through 12 participated. But really, like I said, nothing can prepare you for a band made up of over 1,800 students. Last year, I was the parent of a fifth grader who was new to band, and I was truly amazed at the spectacle of all those bands and students together in one place. I was moved by the progression from the squeaks and squawks of the fifth graders all the way up to the beautiful professional grade music of the senior high school combined band. I got a little teary when the high school students gave the fifth graders a standing ovation after their final piece. My heart swelled as I watched veterans stand for applause as their military anthem was played during the Armed Forces salute. And I thrilled to the slowly building crescendo at the end of the truly spectacular finale. The Stars and Stripes Forever with an 1,800-piece band? When again will I ever hear and see such an event? Well, it turns out I can see it next weekend when the 59th annual Bandorama is presented by the Kenosha Unified School District Music Program at the Indian Trail Fieldhouse on January 30th and 31st. Today, we'll learn all about Bandorama, how it came to be, how it is put together, and how it affects the lives of those who perform in it. We have so many enthusiastic guests, we are conducting the show in two shifts. Here is Bandorama Team One to tell us all about it. Our first guest is Scott Plank, who's in his third year serving as coordinator of fine arts for the Kenosha Unified School District. Mr. Plank's previous experience includes 20 years as a high school band director and a year as a middle school assistant principal. Welcome.
Thank you, Karen.
Ken Wheely started teaching in KUSD in 1983 and has served as director of bands at Washington and Lincoln Junior High, as well as Tremper High School. He is currently director of bands at Indian Trail High School and Academy and director of the summer program Kenosha Jazz All-Stars. Welcome.
Great to be here.
Yes. We also have two student musicians, Noah Cresco, who is an Indian Trail senior and plays alto sax in the wind ensemble.
Great to be here.
And Luke Nordgren, who's also from Indian Trail and plays trumpet. He's a junior.
It's great to be here.
Okay, so I want to start by asking Scott Plank to give us the details about this year's Bandorama. When, where? I told you the dates, but how can listeners buy tickets? Is there another way to see it if they can't make it or the tickets sell out?
Sure. Tickets are still available for the event. We generally do sell out by the date of the event, so anyone who's interested in purchasing tickets, you can do that by going to the KUSD website and going to the Fine Arts page. There's a bright red and yellow button there that says Purchase Bandorama Tickets, and that'll take them to our online sales. And from there, there are some different options. We have a couple of different ticket levels. We have some premium reserved seats, which basically are the seats that face at the high school bands. We have general admission seats, which are probably more appropriate for those who are there for the younger groups. And we also have remote seating in the auditorium. We do a multi-camera recording of the event, and this will be the live multi-camera showing in the auditorium. And that's really great because it's kind of like going to the movies. It's on the big screen, and the music is all piped in there live as the event occurs. For anybody who's not able to get out, the event's on Saturday. Saturday's event is at 6:30 p.m. Sunday's event is at 1:30 in the afternoon, and both of those will be broadcast on Channel 20. So if you're unable to get out and you have cable in the community, you will be able to see those performances on Channel 20.
Great. Okay. So I'm wondering, Ken, if you can tell us a little bit about the history of Bandorama. When and how did it start? Do you know whose idea this
Sure.
was 59 years ago?
Sure. It was the brainchild of a guy named Ralph Houghton, whose name might be familiar to you. He's the first coordinator of music at KUSD. And Ralph was just a mastermind at coming up with innovative ideas to promote music. And this was really his brainchild, where he just decided he wanted to set up a venue where the parents could see the evolution of kids from 5th grade to 12th grade and watch, you know, in a snapshot, really see all that progress that they make over time. Ralph was a master salesman. I mean, he, you know, in a different life, he might have been a car salesman or a realtor, because he was one of the best guys I've ever seen at just being able to sell, and that's what he did. He sold the band program to Kenosha, mm-hmm. and here we are today.
So as far as I know, this is a unique event in music education. Does anyone else do a Bandorama, or is this the first one?
I think we're the first one, but I do know that there are a lot of other communities now that are copying what we do because mm-hmm. it's been so effective.
Right.
Yeah.
Does this have anything to do, I wonder, we used to have some musical instrument factories here in town. Did that have anything to do with why it happened here?
LeBlanc was here for many uh-huh. years, and yeah. I think they were really strong supporters of the Bandorama and played a key role. Mm-hmm. But it was really Ralph mm-hmm. and him just, you know, pitching this idea to all the band directors and all the principals. And I know we're probably going to get into the logistics later, but it's a unique event in so many different ways. And logistically is probably one of the ways that it really is exceptional.
So if I recall correctly, there's one piece, which is the finale, that every single student is playing in. Yes.
Right.
So we have some pieces from last year that were played, and I believe they're all combined high school band or I'm not sure. So the first one, Ken, can you tell us maybe a little, not Ken, Scott, can you tell us a little bit about the first piece that we're going to hear from last year?
Yeah, I believe this piece, this was our opening piece for this last year, A New Day Arisen. And this should be the high school students. I think there are some limited middle school students involved.
Right, middle schools as well. Right.
Oh, okay.
And basically what we try to do with the event is to open with something that the majority of the students are playing on, and then, of course, finish with something that we've got the entire mass band performing on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as you alluded to, Ken, the concept of the Bandorama is something that I think a lot of schools have used, but I'm not aware of any other school district of this size that is able to pull an event off like this. It truly is amazing, as you noted, Karen, that we've got 1,800 students playing together, you know, all in the same place, all at the same time. And that is just pretty amazing. I know that other districts do this, but nothing to the size of what Kenosha is able to do.
Okay. Well, let's hear. It's called, who's the composer for A New Day Arisen? Do we know?
Stephen Barton.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
gentlemen, students, do you remember playing that song?
Yeah, I do remember playing that song, and we won't be playing it this year, but I'll miss it a lot, especially being a senior that I won't be coming back next year to play. Uh-huh. I'll definitely miss that song for sure.
That was one of your favorites?
Mm-hmm.
Good. So, Scott, I know there is an event that's sort of equivalent for both orchestra and for choirs, but Bandorama was first, correct?
Yes, Bandorama was.
How big are these other two, and when do they happen?
The other two, I mean, pretty comparable in size.
Mm-hmm.
The orchestra festival that we have also includes some of our band students as they do full orchestra pieces. So all said, that event features about the same number of students, about 1,800 students. Our choral festival features about 1,200 students. That's our enrollment in the choral programs district-wide from middle school through high school. The Choral Fest is our next event after Bandorama, and that is in February. I believe that's February 20th. And then the Orchestra Festival is the first weekend of March, I believe March 4th.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I should have had those,
oh,
those
okay.
dates memorized better.
Maybe we'll do another show, right? So I'm just curious. So, obviously we've made the point that this is a really big event and for such a large district to try to put this together. I'm just curious. So, Ken, is this something you had heard about before you came here to teach? I mean, is this sort of a legendary thing among music directors or not?
Well, I grew up way up north in Lake Superior area, so
mm-hmm.
The word hadn't spread quite that far. But
okay.
When I came to town in 83 as a young director, I mean, one of the first things everybody had a conversation with me about was, hey, wait till you see Bandorama, wait till you see the way we do this, and you won't believe it. And I have distinct memories still
mm-hmm.
of that first Bandorama and hearing the Stars and Stripes at the end and hearing the mass groups, and it's just, I still remember that real vividly. It was really pretty cool. And still to this day now, after 33 years, there are still times, when to step back and just say, wow, this is really special.
Right.
Yeah.
Scott, is this a recruiting tool when you're hiring people to be band directors? Do they think this is a great idea if they've never experienced it? Or
We really have not. We haven't hired any positions that have truly been like people who would not know about this event
mm-hmm.
in the recent years. So we're lucky to have many, many students who have chosen to go and pursue music and music education as a career after being a part of the Kenosha programs. And we're very lucky to have some fantastic people who have chosen to come back and give back to their school district.
Right. So this obviously has a profound effect on those students, but we have our two students right here in front of us. So I wanted to ask Noah and Luke, either one of you can go, what does it mean for you to participate in Bandorama? Do you remember the first one? What has it been like as the years have gone by?
Well, I remember as a fifth grader going to my first Bandorama. Going into it, as a fifth grader, you're playing really easy pieces, and you just feel like you're the best there. But looking back on it now, it's really not that inspiring. But it's amazing seeing how far you've come from
mm-hmm.
fifth grade to now. And I still have another year after
right.
this, which I'm really excited for.
Right. Do you remember yours too, Noah?
With fifth grade was always a fun time playing in band just because you enjoyed everything you played and it was never too hard to learn. And when you met everyone at Bandorama, that was also in fifth grade, it was actually funny because everyone feels like they need to play louder than they actually have to.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, fifth grade was a fun time. And like Luke said, it's cool seeing your progression over the years. And now being in high school, it's fun giving a standing ovation to the fifth graders after they're done playing.
Right.
Karen, the thing that I've always remarked and thought was pretty cool was it's a real social event for these guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they see not only, the younger kids at their own high school and they get to make music with them, but they also see kids from Bradford and Tremper that they know that they've made music with in the summer. It's kind of a reunion of sorts, where they're saying, oh, you haven't seen you in a while. And the chance for it, that's, I think, one of the other really cool things about them getting a chance to make music together and coming together in those inner school or inter rivalries that you see typically in athletics. you know, this is sort of the opposite of that. Everybody coming together, mm-hmm. working together, and making some great music. And I think that's what's pretty special about it, too.
Right. Do you have any special memories from one of your Bandorama experiences? Maybe something weird that happened? Or
It was my sophomore year and Luke's freshman year. We played Night on Fire, and I thought it was the coolest song ever. But just because of how it sounded. It was a lot of repetition, but it was a really fun song, uh-huh. and I loved playing that piece.
I just remember ever since my freshman, sophomore, and junior, well, not junior yet, but with the last year's graduating seniors and the seniors who graduated 2 years ago, to the rehearsal on Saturday, we would always wear Hawaiian shirts, just as sort of a tradition, and I always loved that.
Right. So what's been the best part of being a 7 or 8 year member of the KUSD band program? What are some things that you remember, not necessarily Bandorama, but other things about it?
I think KUSD has a prestigious band program and music program in general, with choir and band and orchestra. But I think band exceeds most of them because of the directors around Kenosha for band, especially Wheelie. Wheelie is my favorite teacher in high school, and he's always been my favorite teacher. So, and it's always neat playing with the guest conductor that comes in.
Mm-hmm. Touching on what Noah said, he's not just favorite teacher, but just one of our best friends and inspirations. And he's always been there, and he kind of creates, he makes our band program. It's not all the students. He's the one that kind of creates and forms that bond between us.
Wow.
Thanks, guys.
What are your band plans for the future? Do you think you'll continue to play after you graduate?
When I go into college, I don't plan on majoring in music, but a possible minor. And yeah, I could never see myself dropping music in general. So mm-hmm. I would love to keep my achievements going into college.
Right.
I also plan on maybe minoring in music, but even if I don't, I'm going to still try and be in the band program at whatever college I go to and still play on my own.
That's great to hear. So we're going to have to say goodbye to you three and add another three guests along with Mr. Plank. But before we go, we're going to hear a selection from last year's Bandorama called Esprit de Corps. Would you like to describe it, Mr. Wheelie?
Well, it's just a fiery piece made up of a lot of brass and percussion, a lot of flash and crash. Kids really enjoyed playing it last year. It's the guy who wrote it, Robert Yeager, took the themes and he twisted and turned it in a lot of unique ways. And it's just a lot of fun to play. And it's one of those pieces that, besides being fun to play, it's just fun to listen to.
Okay, so
add to that too, As a group of directors, and I'm going to include myself in that as well, having been a previous director, it's great to have the opportunity to look at a really wide variety of genres of music to have be a part of the Bandorama experience. And this piece in particular is truly a staple of the repertoire. This is a piece that students should be exposed to, and you know, it would be kind of the equivalent of reading To Kill a Mockingbird in an English class. This is standard repertoire for the group, so it's fantastic that they get to experience that not only as high school students but in this bigger realm of this event.
Okay.
Thank you.
I just want to remind our listeners that we're discussing the Kenosha Unified School District's 59th annual Bandorama concert with Fine Arts Coordinator Scott Plank. And we took a moment to switch to our Bandorama interview team, too, who is made up of these three gentlemen: John Knepper, who is currently the band and choir director for Harborside Middle School and the Harborside Lakeview Bands and Choirs. He has been teaching in Kenosha Unified Schools for 33 years. Welcome.
Thanks, Karen.
We also have Ethan Asbeck, is that right? Who's an 11th grader at Harborside Academy and a member of the Harborside Lakeview Symphonic Band and Jazz Ensemble. And you're a trombone player?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. And Dan, I forgot to ask how to pronounce your name.
Miesbauer.
Miesbauer, who is a Tremper senior and a trumpet player. Mm-hmm. Yes. So we just heard a little bit of Esprit de Corps. Do you two remember playing that song last year?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I didn't play that song.
You didn't play last year. So tell, what do you think about it, Dan?
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That's a military style song, mm-hmm. I do believe. And yeah, it's really fun to hear all the little melodies put in there from all the different branches.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So one of the big features of Bandorama is that you always have a guest conductor. Has that been true from the very start, Scott?
I don't know if that's been true from the very start. I guess I would believe it has. That's
okay.
Been the tradition as far as I know all along. And this year we've got Dr. Quincy Hilliard, who will be joining us. And he's a composer and also a university professor, and really brings some interesting perspectives to us, just because most of the time we don't have people who are who've composed hundreds of pieces in their lifetime. Mm-hmm. So I think that's just an interesting aspect.
And how do you choose the guest conductors, and what do they do when they get here?
We spent some time taking a look at who might be in the area close by, who has done some work with large groups, or has done, say, honor band, or has done clinics before. We really tap into the knowledge and connections that our directors have in looking for people. We actually looked at Quincy 2 years ago, but we had to schedule him 2 years out because he was that busy. So we've actually had him contracted since the end of 2013. I think it was the end of 2013 that we actually contracted him. So
wow. And then I know they come a few days ahead of time. So what do they do, and how do they work with the bands during that time?
This year I'll be picking up Dr. Hilliard in Chicago on Wednesday night. Then on Thursday morning, bright and early, probably about 7:30, we'll start touring the different schools around the district. And so pretty much all day Thursday and all day Friday, he'll go around and I'll accompany him to the different buildings. He'll get a chance to work in a clinic session with each one of the bands at the high school and each one of the 7th and 8th grade groups at the middle school. No, I'm sorry, just the 8th grade groups at the middle school. On Saturday morning, then, we put this all together. That's the first time that all the students truly play together as one mass ensemble. And so that's kind of our dry run and dress rehearsal. And then we have the events on Saturday night and Sunday afternoon.
Wow. So, John Knepper, how is the music selected? Are you part of that? Are all the band directors part of it? And maybe you can tell us a little bit about what you have planned for this year.
It's a multi-tiered process. Mm-hmm. We start out having people just throw some ideas about the directors, all pitch pieces that they know or that they've heard someplace. If we have a guest conductor who's a composer, we like to look at their music and honor them by having their music played. We try not to do a whole program of their music, but certainly have pieces played by the composer, who is our conductor. We look at the level of difficulty. We look at sometimes what's trending in music, whether it's an anniversary of a musical or, in this case, Star Wars is being played. People are really excited about that. The movies come out. And John Williams' music is always great. We also look at what is the crowd appeal. You know, is it going to be something that the audience is really going to connect to? Is it going to be something that they can walk out of there feeling good about, and even if it's not quite in the popular vein, something that's upbeat and something that will really be exciting for them, or something that they can relate to and remember past the event.
And has the concert always ended with Stars and Stripes Forever?
I believe that it has always ended with Stars and Stripes.
Are there any other staples that you use every year in any of the levels?
Always Star Spangled Banner, but that's often always after a fanfare that mm-hmm. the high school bands and the eighth grade bands will play, followed by the Star Spangled Banner, and then we do the Stars and Stripes at the end. This year it's Star Spangled Banner, Stars and Stripes, and Star Wars. So this is a star-studded music program.
All about stars. Okay. How long does it actually take to prepare and set up for this event? Either any of you, actually, maybe you help too, students.
I don't know. I don't really help set up as a player. Uh-huh. We get the music a few months in advance, and we practice it for a very long time, put a lot of work into it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And so how long does it take to set up? I mean, do you start doing this Friday night, or is it a couple days earlier than that? Or
The coordination and logistics, we start thinking about that pretty much as soon as the event is over and start planning for the next year. Things really start to ramp up just about a month in advance as we start to get posters out, start to look at finalizing our program. At that point in time, music has already obviously been selected, but as we get into the week of, we coordinate our warehouse drivers to help us move equipment around. The setup in Indian Trail, most of that occurs Friday night and early Saturday morning. So it's pretty contained within the weekend, but it's a lot of logistics to make sure that we've got everything where it needs to be and have enough equipment for 1,800 students to be able to perform.
Lots of music stands.
Yes, lots of music stands.
Lots of percussion.
Lots of timpani and tubas right. and bass drums and things like that.
Right, that they can't actually fit in the back of the minivan or anything like that, right?
I wouldn't say can't. But
can't, but yeah.
It's a little
difficult.
You're creative.
So I'm curious about, Indian Trail Fieldhouse looks huge to me, and it seems like it's the biggest venue in the school system. So where did you have it before there was an Indian Trail Fieldhouse?
Started out at Tremper in the gymnasium. And I remember seeing a picture on an album cover. The guest conductor was in the center of the gym, and all the bands were in a circle around him. And then when I was in junior high and high school, I was out at Carthage College in their fieldhouse before the addition. And then it moved to Bradford after that, and then to Indian Trail.
Now Bradford is pretty big, but it's not as big as Indian Trail, is it?
Actually, the fieldhouse is pretty much the same size.
Yeah.
One of the things that we're doing now with the Bandorama event is having the remote seating, as I noted, that we've got seating in the auditorium where there's a live feed, mm-hmm. audio and video. And the nice thing about Indian Trail is that everything is central, so we can have people in the fieldhouse and in the auditorium, and we're not having to have people trek across the school to do that. And
mm-hmm.
That's one of the challenging logistics of Bradford. So the layout of Indian Trail is really kind of what's taken us there.
When they were planning that building, did they keep you in mind or not at all, really?
I do think that the building, when you look at it, it's obvious that there was input from our music people and our theater arts people
mm-hmm.
because it's designed well.
Right. Well, that's good to hear. So now I want to turn to the students for a little bit of information. You said you practice a lot for this. It's several months worth of practice. I know that our listeners always like to hear stories about what happens in schools. So I wonder if you each maybe have a story about something that happened in the years that you participated in Bandorama. Do you remember back to your first time? Now, was this your last year was your first year doing this? Is that right, Ethan, or not?
No, I've been here since.
Oh, okay. But you didn't play that song.
I didn't play that song
okay.
last year.
All right. So tell our listeners something that has happened over Bandorama, or a favorite song or a favorite thing that happened, other than the being snowed out last year. That was not good. Right.
Yeah. Well, I've been playing since fifth grade, so Bandorama is one of those traditional things you do every year. And at first, the students kind of dread it because it's this long, long concert. But as you grow up and mature, you start to appreciate it for what it is, this great music festival where everyone's playing. You get to hear people from all over the district. So that's a lot of fun. I remember from my first year in Bandorama, back in fifth grade, how it's laid out is all the younger kids are on the outside of the field house. And then as the groups get more experience, they move in closer towards the guest conductor on the big podium. And as a fifth grader sitting on the way outside and you hear the older groups playing their songs, the oldest group always does a very, very challenging song. That's something to look forward to. So listening to that as a fifth grader, having just learned a few notes that year, just starting out, it's incredible to hear how far people can progress in a few years. Mm-hmm. So that was always something exciting that I looked forward to.
Okay, and Ethan, what do you think?
I don't remember much from my very first Bandorama, but I do remember hearing the seniors, the mm-hmm. upper bands, how amazing it was, and just thinking to myself, will that ever be me?
Uh-huh.
And now that it is, it's pretty cool.
Pretty amazing, huh?
Uh-huh.
So band sounds like it might be a pretty big part of your life at school. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
How do you think your life might be different if you didn't have these band experiences? How important is this for you?
Me personally, band does teach you a lot of dedication in your life, commitment, because it's not something you can just sit down and do the very first time. It takes a lot of hard work to excel at anything. So it does instill life skills over the years. That's something it does.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Band, for me, it teaches a lot of focus, just really trying to get to your goal to learn the songs.
Uh-huh.
So it's a lot, and that's where I met most of my friends was in band.
Right. Mm-hmm. I was just going to ask about that. So I remember I was in band in junior high, and then I switched to choir. But I do remember just, like, going to the music room just to hang out with people. Is mm-hmm. that still happening?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in between, even if it's not your band period or whatever, if you have a free period, you can go to the practice room mm-hmm. and hang out with your friends and practice a little maybe, right?
I'm usually there before school and a little bit after school because it's just a fun place to hang out with your friends, and most of my very close friends came from band.
Right. Yeah, I just actually read an editorial that I thought was really great about how we should support band programs and music programs, not because they make you better students or any other thing, but because music itself is worth supporting and that it's fun. And mm-hmm. Everyone wins when you participate in music. It's not like a sports thing where somebody has to lose. Everybody wins, right?
Absolutely.
And in this case, you win really big because you have 1,800 students. So what are your band plans for the future? Do either of you think that you will continue to play after you're done with high school?
Me personally, going off to college next year, I think I'm going to continue playing in college for sure, if I can. That's something, because I just enjoy doing it. It's so much fun.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? I know you're a junior, so you haven't maybe thought that far ahead yet.
I do plan on playing in college,
mm-hmm.
but it's not like what I want to do for my career.
Right.
I just want to do it for fun
mm-hmm.
after high school.
Do you know any adult musicians who play that it's not their job, but they just play in the community or in a band or something?
No one I can think
of. I bet Mr. Knepper does.
Right. Actually, I'm going to rehearsal tonight with two of my friends from eighth grade,
yeah.
and we're still playing. So obviously I've been in music, but I still play. And these two guys are people that I went through eighth grade high school with, and we're playing in a rehearsal tonight. We play once a week and just do it because we love playing music and having the time together.
Mm-hmm. Are there any final thoughts that you want to send us off with before we play our grand finale song?
I can say that something I've gained from band, music is something special to me. It's a very mm-hmm. expressive thing that you can do. It's more than notes on a page. Once you get above a certain level, you start to play with more feeling, musicality, and that's what makes it so special. It's there's a lot of feeling you can put through an instrument.
Right.
Music, for me, it's just a really enjoyable thing. Like, once you get past the phase where you need to learn the music, it's just a lot of fun to play when you mm-hmm. can just look at new music and play it.
I didn't get to ask about Star Wars. How are you feeling about that?
It's going to be fun. Mm-hmm.
Is it hard?
Yeah. It's pretty hard.
Once you learn it, it's not too bad.
It seems like it would be a really challenging thing for the trumpets.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, it's like
a lot of trumpet fanfare in that song.
Mm-hmm. As a trumpet player, it is very physically taxing after a while because we're playing the whole thing.
Right.
So, yeah.
What is it like to conduct that?
Conduct Star Wars?
Yeah.
It's really fun.
Is it?
It's really fun. You can be really dynamic and very large, and it's really fun to conduct.
I was looking at all the YouTube videos of the various Star Wars, even one of Williams conducting it, but there was one in a Polish music school that's really interesting. So I don't know if you guys have looked at those. They're fun.
I have to check it out.
So we are going to finish up by playing the traditional ending song for every Bandorama for 58 years and now going on to the 59th year, yes. And this is the Stars and Stripes Forever. Can anyone want to talk about it a little bit?
This is the official march of the United States. This was written by John Philip Sousa, who was also the first director, I believe, of the Marine Corps Band. Is that right, John?
I believe so.
Obviously a part of our history and continues to be part of our heritage, and it's a fantastic piece.
And it has all of the band members in the entire school district.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Our younger players are contributing, obviously not to the same technical level that our older players, but every student in the field house is playing on this piece.
Excellent. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Karen.
Thank you.
Thanks, Karen.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, well, that was the finale to the 2015 Bandorama. And the 2016 Bandorama is happening when, Scott?
It's happening next weekend, or this coming weekend, which is the 30th and 31st of January.
That's right. And you can go to the KUSD website if you want to try to order tickets for it. I want to give a big thank you to our guests. Our Team 1 guests were Ken Wheely, Director of Bands at Indian Trail High School, Noah Cresco and Luke Nordgren, who are students at Indian Trail. And Team 2, who's still here with me, is John Knepper, who is the Band and Choir Director for Harborside Middle School and the Harborside Lakeview Band and Choir. Also, Ethan Asbeck, a 11th grader at Harborside Academy, and Dan Miesbauer, a senior at Tremper High School, and of course, Mr. Scott Plank, coordinator of fine arts for the Kenosha Unified School District. And we're looking forward to Bandorama next weekend. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
Good morning, and welcome to the WGTD Radio Theater. This morning, we start the 12th season.
Surely you don't mean our 12th season.
Yes, our 12th season, show number 99, in fact, with our annual Cartoons on the Radio show with a mashup of favorite cartoon characters. A Cartoons on the Radio show mashup 2016 was written by Stephen Brown and Michael Ulstrup, and stars members of the 91.1 Players. Support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha law firm of Aaliyah, Dumay, Dunn, and McTernan, a full-service law firm with an emphasis on personal injury, civil litigation, and business law. Also supporting the WGTD Radio Theater is non-for-profit Brown Ulstrup Performing Arts Foundation, located in Salem, Wisconsin. The mission of the foundation is to develop and promote excellence in the performing arts in Wisconsin and the Midwest. Last year, the WGTD Theater annual Cartoons on the Radio mashup confronted the evil and crazy dictator of North Korea, Kim Jong-un. This year, we set our sights on that shirtless, self-appointed czar of the former evil empire, Vladimir Putin.
Rocky, I thought Vladimir Putin was the president of Russia.